Somebody will meet you back there and escort you on your way. Have a great time. We're going to talk about the call of Jesus to these two simple words, follow me, but difficult to live out. Let's pray. Lord God, it's like old home week. For many of us, we've been stuck in our homes and not able to come and worship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we thank you that the weather is cleared, that we can meet here together again. We miss being together, Lord Christ. Thank you, God, for this time together, for your word that's before us. I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, would be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it is indeed good to be together again this morning. I walked out on one job in my history of having jobs. Yeah, it's a confession. I was young, 19 probably years old. I just graduated from high school, was looking for a job as I went to school to kind of help pay the way. And I interviewed at several places, and at every place I remember saying to them, now look, this is important to remember for me and for you. I'm in school, and that's my first priority. I remember telling Larry, the manager at Big Five, those same words. He said, that's fine. We'll work around your schedule. I said, great. He said, when can you start? As soon as possible. He said, okay, we'll see you Monday. So I show up Monday, and I check the schedule for the next week. And I'm scheduled on Tuesdays and Thursdays, as well as that Monday. Well, I had classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I went to Larry, and I said, you know, Larry, you scheduled me on Tuesdays and Thursdays this week, and I can only work Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and the weekends. He said, oh, yeah, Steve, I forgot. So he changed the schedule, and I worked a whole week at Big Five. The next Monday, I showed up late in the afternoon, and I was scheduled for, you guessed it, Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I said, you know, Larry, I go to school on Tuesdays and Thursdays for the whole semester. It's going to be like this, Tuesdays and Thursdays, about 3 months. He said, well, Steve, here's the problem. I need you on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I did the mature thing. And I said to him, Larry, I didn't sign up for this. And I walked out. Forgive me. On behalf of Larry, the manager at Big Five. Have you ever felt like you were all of a sudden required to do something that led you to think or believe or maybe even say, I didn't sign up for this? Maybe it was your fault. You didn't know all the requirements. Maybe it was the other's fault. But whoever's fault it was, have you ever been in that place where you thought to yourself or even said, I didn't sign up for this? I think in our lives of faith that it's natural to think that about our discipleship. Because the road, the path to following Jesus is not easy. And admittedly, I have had plenty of times in my life of faith and followership and discipleship, being a disciple of Christ Jesus, that I've said, I didn't sign up for this. Let's take a look at the first call of Jesus on these first disciples. We catch up with Jesus beginning his public ministry. He's been baptized. He's spent 40 days and nights now in the desert being tempted by the tempter, the devil, Satan himself. He's come back. He's begun his ministry, and he begins to call his followers. And I want to, as I read this, I want you to pay special attention to what the call of Jesus, these two simple words, follow me, really mean for these disciples. That is, what are they giving up? In verse 18, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, says Jesus, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and followed him. And then verse 21, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Four disciples, two sets of brothers, Andrew and Peter, John and James. These are the earliest disciples and maybe the closest disciples to Jesus. Certainly Peter, James, and John were part of that inner circle. And when Jesus calls them to follow him, this wasn't a cheap call. Dietrich Bonhoeffer talks about cheap grace. It's a like statement here, that we cheapen the call of God or we cheapen grace when we don't understand fully what it is that we're giving up or receiving. Verse 20, they left their nets and followed him. And in verse 22, about James and John, immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. The disciples gave up these things, home, their place of origin, the history that they had in that place. The disciples gave up their work. This was their livelihood. You can imagine these four growing up with their fathers out fishing. It's probably true that Andrew and Peter and James and John, their families, were in the fishing business together. And so they're giving up all of these relationships and this work that they've come to know. They're giving up their very families. Two, it says here, James and John, get out of the boat where they're already fishing with their father. They're also giving up things that are less visible to us. They're giving up their attitudes about life, about faith, about everything they know. This walk with Jesus will lead these four to be martyred. At least three of them we know of for sure. They're giving up allegiances. They're giving up God's small g. Whatever it was in their lives that was most prominent, they gave up. This is difficult to do. Sometimes we cheapen the call of Christ when he says, follow me, by making it easier than it really is. You know, in Matthew chapter 29, if you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn there, verses 21 and 22. This is the story of the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and says, how might I enter into the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, well, you tell me. And the ruler says, well, I know the law and I know the prophets. We are to love God and we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And Jesus says, you got that right. And then the man proceeded to ask Jesus, what else is there? And Jesus answered in these words, if you want to be perfect, the word in the Greek is teleos or teleos, depending on the ending. But that means to be complete, not perfect as without sin, but if you want to be complete, if you want to be a complete follower of Jesus, then do this. Go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. You hear the same words? It's the same call upon this rich young ruler. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. This is a different story of a calling, an invitation of a disciple. The story doesn't end the same way. It ends differently. We don't know what happens to this young ruler or this young man who walks off. But unlike this man, Andrew and Peter and James and John give up everything. This was something apparently, this treasure, this wealth that this rich ruler could not give up, seemingly. So when Jesus calls us, he's not just saying to you, hey, guess what? This will be fun. All you have to do is show up on Sunday for an hour, and then you go live the rest of your life. How hard can it be? Well, the call of Jesus is hard. The true call of Jesus is difficult because we're asked to leave everything behind. Number two, the call of Jesus requires that we act and respond to what he's called us to. Verse 23, Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is how Matthew refers to it. The other synoptic gospel writers, Luke and Mark, talk about the kingdom of God. It's the same thing, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. And so those who are following Jesus have a responsibility. They are given a duty to proclaim or to teach the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 10, that's the beginning of what's called the Sermon of the Mount. It's the greatest sermon Jesus ever gave up on the side, the hillside up in Galilee, up above the lake of, or Sea of Galilee, or Lake Gennesaret, the same thing. And Jesus is now beginning this sermon. And he begins with this picture of the kingdom of God. These are also called the Beatitudes. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And at the very end, he says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He says, the kingdom of heaven is here. At the beginning, the kingdom of heaven is here. And everything now he's going to say are between the book ends of the kingdom of heaven. So we get this glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven, blessed are the poor in spirit. In the kingdom of heaven, blessed are those who mourn. In the kingdom of heaven, blessed are the meek. In the kingdom of heaven, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. In the kingdom of heaven, blessed are the merciful. In the kingdom of heaven, blessed are the pure in heart. In the kingdom of heaven, blessed are the peacemakers. In the kingdom of heaven, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but that's quite a list. And it's a difficult list. And how many of us would voluntarily say, I sign up for that? But you did. That may be good news. That may be terrible news. This is what you signed up for. You signed up to enter into and live in the kingdom of heaven, where you ought to be and should seek to be poor in spirit, mourning, meek, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, a peacemaker, and persecuted because of the sake of Christ, the one you follow. That's quite a list. This is a great job description for the disciple of Jesus. If you're looking for how you should be and act and do, this is it. See, the call of Christ, when he says these two simple words, he's not asking for a simple give back in return. He's asking that you give everything. Number three, the call of Jesus not only requires leaving everything behind and teaching and proclaiming and living in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, but also means healing and caring for all people. Again, another part of the job description of a disciple. Verse 24b at the end. People brought to him, Jesus, all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures and the paralyzed, and he healed them. You see, as Jesus calls these four disciples, he then shows them by his actions, this is what you are to do. The call to follow me is not just that we might go where Jesus went. No, it's much more than that. The call is also that we might do what Jesus did. That's what a rabbi, that's what a teacher passes down to their disciples. Jesus says to them, follow me, meaning go where I go and do what I do. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus gives, I believe, the best job description as he understands it for his own personal ministry and the ministry of a disciple. He's quoting Isaiah chapter 61 when he stands up in the synagogue and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Today, says Jesus, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." He was quoting the prophet Isaiah, giving basically the job description of the Messiah, and he then says to those who are gathered in the synagogue, "Guess what? I'm that guy. I'm the one that will heal and care for all people." We've, throughout our history as a church, capital C, the Christian church, we've not always been fair in proclaiming what it really takes to follow Jesus. Because the call of Jesus is not simple. The call of Jesus is not easy. In fact, the true call of Jesus will take everything you have to follow him faithfully. Why else would Jesus say to the disciples in Matthew 16, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." I trust that you hear today the call of Jesus, "Come, follow me." Let me conclude by reading an excerpt from the book Follow Me by David Platt. By the way, if you're looking for a devotional, this would be a good one. He writes, "Four fishermen stood by a sea in the first century when Jesus approached them. 'Follow me,' he said, 'and I will make you fishers of men.' With that, Jesus beckoned these men to leave behind their professions, possessions, dreams, ambitions, family, friends, safety, and security. He bid them to abandon everything. 'If anyone is going to follow me, he must deny himself,' Jesus would say repeatedly. In a world where everything revolves around self, protect yourself, promote yourself, present yourself, preserve yourself, entertain yourself, comfort yourself, take care of yourself, Jesus says, slay yourself. And that's exactly what happened. According to scripture and tradition, these four fishermen paid a steep price for following Jesus. Peter was crucified upside down. Andrew was crucified in Greece. James was beheaded, and John was exiled. Yet they believed it was worth the cost. In Jesus, these men found someone worth losing everything for. In Christ, they encountered a love that surpassed comprehension, a satisfaction that superseded circumstances, and a purpose that transcended every other possible pursuit in this world. They eagerly, willingly, and gladly lost their lives in order to know, follow, and proclaim him. In the footsteps of Jesus, these disciples discovered a path worth giving their lives to tread. 2,000 years later, I wonder how far we have wandered from this path. Somewhere along the way, amid varying cultural tides and popular church trends, it seems we have minimized Jesus' summons to total abandonment. Churches are filled with Christians who seem content to have casual association with Christ while giving nominal adherence to Christianity. Scores of men, women, and children have been told that becoming a follower of Jesus simply involves acknowledging certain facts or saying certain words. But this is not true. disciples like Peter, Andrew, James, and John show us that the call to follow Jesus is not simply an invitation to pray a prayer, but it's a summons to lose our lives. Amen.